thank you for being our healer today. We thank you for being our protector today. We thank you for being our shield. We thank you for being our wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for being our everything. We need you like never before. And now we curse coronavirus. We curse you and we command you be cast into the sea. And Lord, we thank you for giving us your spirit, giving us your righteousness, giving us your wisdom, giving us your word. Lord, we thank you that we are in you. We are protected in you. We are safe in your arms. We are shielded by your word. And we thank you that no calamity, no misfortune comes nigh our dwelling place. We are the preserved, the saved, the healed in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement with that, give God the biggest shout of praise. You've given him all day today. Amen, amen, amen. Again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in, and I want to encourage you and remind you, tomorrow, beginning tomorrow, 7 a.m., live streaming. I'll be live streaming every morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m., just for a short time of prayer and Proverbs, prayer and Proverbs. So I just want to go over some of that stuff with you every morning before you start your day. Hopefully you can connect with me on Facebook. If you're not my friend on Facebook, I want you to be and join with me every single morning before you start your day, 7 a.m. Amen. Hey, if you've got your Bible, grab your Bible in your hand, and let's make this faith confession real loud and really strong. Did I already do that? I did that already. Good God. See, I can't tell with anybody in here. I can't tell if I did that already. Let's just jump to the word. Jump on over in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll find a very familiar passage of scripture. Last week, I started talking about taking a stand. Taking a stand in the word. And I really want to make a series and talk about that. As believers, what we have to do to take a stand. Here, let's read this in Ephesians. Turn in your Bible. I'm going to turn to mine there so I give you all enough time. I know we've got it back here behind me on the screen. And that's why I wanted to do this in the auditorium today, to make sure that if you can't flip to these passages fast enough, you can see them right behind me on the screen. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians is broken up into three areas. Three areas, and that is, the first part of Ephesians starts out talking about sitting, us being seated in heavenly places in Christ, our position of rest in Christ Jesus. Vitally important that we understand those things. Then beginning in chapter 4 and chapter 5 and part of chapter 6, it talks about us walking, our walk as believers, our walk in marriage, our walk in our lifestyle. And then the last part is right here in this chapter, chapter 6, what we're going to look at, the latter part of chapter 6, and it talks about taking a stand. And I really want to talk about this because we find now that we're going to have to take a stand as believers. We're going to have to take a stand against sickness. We're going to have to take a stand for what God said is rightfully ours. The things that all the promises of God are given to us, but to manifest them, we have to take a stand and we have to fight the good fight of faith. So look what the Bible says here. If you've got your Bible open, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, look what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not in your own power, not in your own strength, but in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Now watch this. In this whole text, y'all, you're going to see stand four times, and you're going to see wrestle one time. Watch this. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In the Amplified Bible, it says the strategies of the devil. Please know what we're going through right now is as the world, the whole world is going through a trial, a wile of the devil. This is a strategy of the devil to kill, steal, and destroy. This is a strategy to stop the word of God from prevailing. It is a strategy, and we as believers must be able to recognize that, identify that, and stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's read on. It says, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Know this, that your enemy is not your neighbor. It is not a man. It is not a black man, white man, red man, not the government, not the president. I know that there's a lot of anger geared towards the president in these days, but that it, he is not your enemy. The government is not your enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Look what he says. Here's the solution. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Withstand in the evil day. That's the days that we're living in right now. I'm going to read you a passage of scripture as I finish this text right here. But we are literally living in what the Bible is describing right here. This evil day, this day of testing, this day of adversity. He says, so that you may be able to stand against take therefore the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In other words, if you don't have on the whole armor of God, you will not be able to withstand in the evil day. There will be people that aren't able to stand, that will, the Bible says, their hearts will fail them for fear, not able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And look what he says, and having done all to stand. We see it three times there. Here we go again. Stand, verse 14, stand therefore having girded, and then he begins to list these seven pieces of armor. And in this series, we're going to begin to talk about these and what this means to us. But watch, as a believer, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. Truth, right? Number one, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the second piece of armor. Truth one, righteousness, breastplate of righteousness, number two. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, your feet with boots of peace, walking in peace. That's the third piece of armor. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Here's the fourth piece of armor, shield of faith. What is that going to do? With which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. That's the fifth piece. Helmet of salvation that has to do with your thoughts, protecting your mind. Y'all get that? In order to protect yourself from fear, protect yourself from sickness, you've got to protect and put on the helmet of salvation for your mind. He says, and the word and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here we get the sixth piece of armor, the sword of the Spirit. And notice here that this is one of the weaponry. All the others are for protection, but this is our weapon here. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Number seven, look at the seventh piece of armor. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The seventh piece of armor here is prayer. Again, this is another weapon when utilized together with the Word of God. And so in this series, over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about how to stand against fear, how to stand against sickness, how to stand against lies, how to stand against the propaganda. We're going to talk about that, how to thrive during these times and not just survive. Now, again, I've said it. Last week I showed you in Matthew that the times that we're living in are not a surprise to God. This is not a surprise to God at all what we're living in. And I want to show you just a couple more passages in Luke chapter 21 that describes what we're living in. I'm going to read in the Amplified Bible, but turn in your Bible if you would to Luke chapter 21. I'm going to read verse 8 through 13, and then I'm going to show you another couple of scriptures in that passage that aren't in my notes. But by the way, you can download my notes right now. I think you can do it right now at www.destinygso, so you can see these notes as well. You can see them up here on the screen. But again, for you to look at throughout this week and know what we're talking about, because today we're going to talk about taking a stand and how we're in the world but not of the world. Look over in your Bible at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, this is where Jesus was asked a question about the times that we're living in. When would he return? When is the end coming? And he gives this answer in Luke. He says, and he said, be on your guard and be careful that you're not led astray. Y'all, this is so important that in testing times like these, that we don't get led away from the Word, that we're not led astray by all the propaganda and all the stuff that's on the internet, all those things. We've got to shut out a lot of that so we're not led astray and led into fear. He says, for many will come in my name, appropriating to themselves the name Messiah, which belongs to me, saying, I am he, and this is, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. He says, and when you hear of wars and insurrections, disturbances, disorder, and confusion, do not become alarmed and panic-stricken and terrified. One translation says, don't get in fear. Don't get terrified. Watch this. He said, for all this must take place first, but the end will not come immediately. Watch this. Then he told them, nation will rise against nation, a kingdom against kingdom. Verse 11, there will be mighty and violent earthquakes in various places. Look at this. Famines, pestilences, plagues, malignant and contagious or infectious epidemic diseases. Y'all know what that is. That's what we're experiencing right now. Diseases which are deadly and devastating, and there will be sights of terror and great signs from heaven. Look at this. But previous to all this, this is what I want you to see. But previous to all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, turning you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be led away before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be a time and opportunity for you to bear testimony. Did y'all hear what Jesus just said right there? He said, there, before all these things even get worse, they will persecute you as a believer. Let me read a couple of the verses to you, because this is happening right now. Right now, even in our city of Greensboro. Mark, let me look at verse 25. I'm going to read it in the King James, New King James. But look at these verses. It's not in my notes, but as I was sitting back just reading a little bit further, watch this. It says, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and the earth, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring. Look at this. Men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heavens will be shaken. And again here, he's saying that many people will be gripped with fear during these times, during these troubling type of times, and because of fear, their heart will fail them. Listen, this is why we as believers have got to learn to stand on the promises of God. Now, here's the good news, and this is what I want to talk to you about today. We are in the world, but we as believers are not of it. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. What in the world does that mean, and how does that apply to us as believers? Jesus said it, and let's take a look at it. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, I love these passages. Y'all know I love John. In the Gospel of John, and in chapter 14, really 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, is Jesus all at the Last Supper with the disciples. So it's his last time before he goes to the cross that he's going to talk to them before the cross. And so he's telling them what's going to happen when he leaves. And in chapter 17 in particular, it is what scholars call his high priestly prayer. He's praying to the Father about believers. He's praying, and this is part of his prayer. Look over in verse 14. I'm going to read it again in the Amplified Bible. And that's why I wanted to have this screen in case you don't have an Amplified Bible. But watch this. Jesus praying to the Father. He says, I have given and delivered to them your word, message, and the world has hated them. Y'all, what in the world is it that goes on with us just receiving and living by the word that causes the devil such disturbance and causes the world to hate us? Now again, remember, the devil is stripped of all his power. What he uses is mankind's authority and power. And this his power is a power of deception and lies. But he's able to destroy humanity with his own lies when we begin to believe them, grip them, live by them. The truth will set you free, but lies will put you in bondage. And so he propagates lies. And so, again, it causes the world, he uses the world and people to hate on believers when we really get the truth. When we get the truth. And we're seeing this now. I got to tell you that some of our friends that with Love Life, which we're a part of, just five people together, right here, there's an abortion clinic right next door to us. Five people, they were keeping their social distance, and it is legal for them. Even in my neighborhood, there's groups of people gathering together, having fun, standing outside, you get it? And nothing illegal with that. They're keeping their distance. Well, five people right over here next door, out praying, not standing with signs, not blocking the door, just as a group of people, five or six, standing there praying, social distancing, 5 or 6 feet apart, at a parking lot, behind, I mean several hundred yards away from the abortion clinic, got arrested yesterday for simply praying. For simply praying, stopping the 20 people that were jammed into a building that's smaller than my office. That's as small as my office, 20 people jammed in there to have an abortion. Now, I know for some people that doesn't bother you at all, but the fact of the matter is, churches are closed, but abortion clinics are open. The places where murder, according to the scriptures, again, this is why we've got to know the word, know what the word says, and realize that rights of believers are being taken. Churches closed, abortion clinics open, not even honoring or respecting the law about the social distancing, and it's not a medical emergency, it's just taking a baby from the mother's womb. Again, I know these things are sometimes offenses to believers that don't understand that we live by the word, and that's why today I've got to talk to you about we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Jesus said, because we're in the world, but not of it, his word would separate us from the world, and that we would be hated because of that. You've got to know that. Listen, he says, I've given them and delivered them. Because they are not of the world, do not belong to the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not, watch what he says. The world hates them because they're not of the world, just like I'm not of the world. Pastor, what does that mean? We're not of the world. Yes, I know we may work on some of the same jobs, live in the same neighborhoods, but what separates us is his word. What's going to separate us from sickness and disease is his word. What's going to separate us from all the ails that come on the earth from the devil is his word. We've got to learn to stand on his word. Look what he says. Jesus says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them, keep and protect them from the evil one. Jesus says, don't take them out of the world, but don't let the evil one hurt them. How does that happen? It happens by us standing on the word, making sure that we understand how to live by this word. Go to the next one. He says, they are not of the world, worldly, belonging to the world, just as I'm not of the world. Next. Sanctify. That word sanctify means to separate them, purify them, consecrate them. Separate them for yourself. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus says here, the word is what's going to separate us, set us apart. It will set you apart from sin. It will set you apart from bondage. It will set you apart from the diseases, from the contamination of the world. The word is what's going to do it. And I know that sounds so crazy to ears that haven't been discipled by this truth. Here, let's go on to the next one. Look over in your Bible at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Over and over throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament, God always tells us this, to separate ourselves from the world. Separate ourselves. Don't do things the way the world does it. Don't do it their way. But he says, I want you still to be present in the world, but I don't want you to do things their way. Watch this. That's what it means to be in the world, but not of it. He says, so come out. This is in 2 Corinthians, and I wanted this one, in the Amplified Version, yes. So come out from among unbelievers and sever yourselves from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor. Say, I've got favor. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So God here again, it's all throughout the scriptures, but he says, I want you to be in the world, but I don't want you to do things like the world does them. Saying to God, the world is terrified right now of this pandemic. But what's more dangerous is the epidemic of fear, the epidemic that has gotten a hold of not only the world, but of believers. We are safe from the storm. Now, I'm not saying that we just should be ignorant and not use common sense things. The Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So we can't be crazy, but at the same time, we can't live in fear of what the world lives in. And the Bible says over and over that he's given us the power over fear. And he's given us the power over sickness and disease as well. When we live by the word. All right, turn over in your Bible. Let me show you this. Look over at Psalms. The life of the believer should be so markedly different from the life of the unbeliever. The life of the true believer, your life, when you walk by the word, will be set so far apart in terms of the toil, the junk that comes on your life, the disease, the sickness, the depression, the poverty, the lack. Over and over throughout the Bible, we see time and time again when plagues came on the earth that the people of God were protected. Even when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to follow the ordinances of the government, which were every day you were to bow down and worship this idol. These things are in the Bible for a reason. They were ordered to every day, when they hear the sound of the trumpet, start worshiping idols. And they said, we're not going to do it, and we're going to pray every day to our God. Guess what they said? We're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. They said, no problem. Now, it sounds good in a page, but we're living in those times, and times will get where if you get together with your Bible, if you get together with other saints and pray, they'll want to arrest you. Are y'all listening to me? And many believers who don't know what the word says would they're more discipled by the world and not the word, will think that that's all right not to do. It is, we must abide by the authority of God if we're going to walk in the blessing of God, if we're going to walk in the favor of God. Look over at Psalms. Turn in your Bible to Psalms chapter 1. The first psalm, look what the first psalm does. The first psalm plainly lets us know what's going to be the outcome of the person who is a believer and walks in the word, contrasted against an unbeliever who doesn't walk in the truth. Look at this. Verse 1, I'm reading from the Amplified, chapter 1, Psalms. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. Verse 2, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. This is so important right here. He says, the believer meditates, thinks on, meditates on, ponders habitually the instructions of God. Are you with me? Now, this, what's happening today is many are studying, pondering the coronavirus. We're spending many hours, many believers are spending many hours studying, understanding, and it's building something in them. It's building a fear in them. And it actually, the fears that they're building, the Bible says in Job chapter 3 and verse 25, Job said, he said, the thing I have feared has come upon me. Fear and faith, and that's not my message today, but fear operates exactly like faith does. It brings to pass the promises of the one who gave them. God gave us promises of health and healing, and as we stand on his word and believe that word, meditate on those promises, the promises come to pass in our life. Just the opposite is true. If we meditate, focus on, think of continually, day and night, and that's what's happening because it's on television about this coronavirus, and don't spend time in the word, we'll find ourselves living in fear, which produces the thing that is being propagated. Are y'all listening to me? That's exactly what Job said. He says, now watch what happens to the person who meditates on his word. He says, and he shall be like a tree firmly planted. When you meditate in the word, it's like a seed that causes you to be a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water. The Bible, the word of God, is oftentimes represented as water that cleanses you, that washes you. He said here, it's the, when you get the word of God, meditating on it, it will cause you to be planted by streams of water. Look what it'll do. Ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Ready to bring forth what fruit? God's fruit. God's fruit of healing, God's fruit of righteousness, God's fruit of peace, God's fruit of joy will come as a result of meditating on his words that say those things. And we're talking about that in greater detail on Wednesdays. Watch this. Here's my favorite part. Its leaf, also talking about you as a tree, its leaf shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Why does that happen? Because his roots are in God's word and not in the words of the world. We get rooted in that. We think on those things. When the world says we're going to die, we say no. The Bible says we will live and not die. When the world says that we will die of sickness and disease, we say no. He took on all my sickness and disease. And we meditate on those things. We think on those things versus meditating and thinking on the words of the devil and what's going on in the world. He says, now watch, verse 4 through 6, tell the first three verses tell what happens with the believer who thinks on what God says. It says he's blessed, prosperous, and enviable. Verse 4 starts about the unbeliever. Not so the wicked. You say, Pastor, I'm not wicked. I just don't believe all this Bible stuff. Look at this. Not so the wicked, those disobedient and living without God are not so. Doesn't necessarily mean evil and killing people. It just means I'm living without God. I don't believe this stuff. Look at this. But they are like the chaff, worthless, dead, without substance, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked, those disobedient and living without God, shall not stand justified, made right with God, in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Look at this. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God. He said, listen, the unbeliever will not stand righteous before God, nor will those who are faking the funk, those who show up at church but don't believe this, those who hear the word but don't do it. He's telling us a couple groups of people here, people who simply don't believe it and those who act like they do but really don't. Oh, that's strong right here. Verse 6, for the Lord knows and is fully acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, those living outside God's will, shall perish, end in ruin, and come to nothing, come to naught. Do y'all hear what I'm saying right here? And again, God is such a loving God. He's not passing judgment. He's telling, here's what happens. It's like when you tell your children, you say, hey, I love you so much, I don't want you to do this because this will be the outcome. That's what the word of God is doing. It's saying, if we don't get on this word, if we don't believe in these truths and set our life on it, our life is going to crumble. Not because God wants us to crumble. He doesn't want us to. He wants us to live and to live a blessed life. And the good news is that's why you're tuned in and that's why you're watching, because you're going to set your life on this rock and on this word. Amen. Look over in your Bible. We're talking about we're in the world, but we're not of it. Look in your Bible at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, I got to show you this because for unbelievers, these truths that we're sharing sound absolutely ridiculous. How in the world can I begin to think about it? Here, let me just read the passage. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being sozoed, being healed. That word saved there is healed, delivered, set free. For those of us who are being that, who are being saved, this word, this message is the dynamis, the power of God. The word of God contains the very power of God. But this message of healing, this message of protection that comes through the cross, the Bible says it's foolishness, not to those who aren't saved, to those who are perishing. This includes believers who are saved too, who don't get the word, who don't stand on the word. Are y'all with me? What I'm talking about is being in the world, but not of the world's ways. In other words, just because we go to church, that's not it, because none of us are going to church anymore. We have to be the church. And what makes us the church now is the word, and it separates our lives from the life of the world. Are y'all with me? The Bible says over and over and over in Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16, it says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is destruction. The word is what's going to separate those things for us. The word is what's going to cause you and I to prosper in these times. And y'all, I hate saying these kind of things over and over, but this is not the last time we'll see viruses like this. This is not the last one. This is COVID-19 that we're living in right now, but there are very good chance there will be a COVID-20. There will be other ones. There's strands of viruses like flu, and the greatest problem with this one is that there's no immunity to it because it's new. But just like the common cold, why the flu kills so many people with underlying medical conditions is because their body can't resist it. And a virus like this, maybe it can be just like the flu, but because there's no resistance to it in our immune system, for the regular person
and particularly for the, it's a high risk for the people who have underlying medical conditions, respiratory problems, you get it. But for those who know how to apply the word, who know how to apply it, you can resist because your immunity is in Jesus. Your immunity is in the word. Now that sounds absolutely ridiculous and crazy to people whose minds aren't renewed to this word, who don't stand on this word. It sounds crazy that a sickness can affect other people but not you. I'm just telling you, it sounds ridiculous. And we've got to know that this is what will cause the world to be offended and angry, and why we have to not feel the pressure that the world puts on us, because the day is coming where it will become greater pressure, not just with staying at home right now, but it will be greater pressure. The Bible talks about it, where when you say that you are a believer, you'll go to jail. We see it happening already now, but in other countries. But it will happen here too. And this is where we'll find out who is really a believer, who's willing to stand up for what is right, who will stand up for what the Word of God says, and we'll see it in our lifestyle. Are y'all listening to me? Thank God we're saved, and thank God we have this Word, and thank God we're going to learn how to stand on it and stand up in what it says. Amen, amen, amen. Turn over in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. We're talking about us being in the world, but not of it. We're in the world, but we're not of the ways of the world. Look what what God says here in Isaiah 55. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which for which I sent it." What God is saying here is my word that I've sent you is just like the rain and the snow that come down from the sky. They water the earth, and they just don't come down to not accomplish anything. The rain will accomplish what it's sent to do, and that is to water and to water seed and give make bread. He said, "My word does the same thing." The word of God is sent from God from heaven, and it's sent to give us seed and bread. It will produce what it was sent to do. In other words, the words of healing will become bread, will cause you to eat healing and produce healing on the inside of you. The words of prosperity of God's word will produce that in you. It will produce peace in you. And so when we see in the world we're lacking something as believers, it's just merely an indication of the word that hasn't grown and developed on the inside of us. So just like a plant, it has to grow. And that's what Psalms 1 was talking about. As we get this word on the inside of us, it will plant us and produce the things that God's word says for us. It won't happen automatically. We have to plant them and sow them and meditate them. That's what that means. Meditate them on them. Think on them. Speak them out of our mouths. And we'll focus on that on Wednesdays. But did y'all see that? Turn over in your Bible. Now, the world doesn't have that because to them, the word is foolish. It's foolish that we would think that someone going to a cross and that we've never seen, rising from the dead, going to a heaven that we've never seen, and we believe in that, would cause eternal change in our life. That sounds ridiculous. But if you're a believer like me, you know it's changed your life to believe in Jesus for salvation. It's changed my life, radically changed my life. The same way that your life has been changed in salvation, maybe it's changed many aspects of your life, your healing, your health, your peace, your joy, your provision can be changed with that same word. Look at that. And the world doesn't have that benefit. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. I'm going to read it out of the NLT. Look what Paul says here. He says, "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders." Of course, Paul's a Jew here, and he's now preaching to the church at Ephesus. He's started the church at Ephesus, and he's telling them, because he's a Jew, and the Jews were the ones that the gospel first came to, he says, "Don't forget, you Gentiles, right, used to be outsiders. you were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, and even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. What he's saying here, these religious people, Jews at that time, these Jews, they got circumcised externally, but their hearts never changed. But they considered the Gentiles outsiders. Watch what he says about that. He says, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel and did not know the covenant promises of God, the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. That's what I want you to see. When we don't know the covenant promises of God, we live in this world without God and without hope. Now watch how important this is. If we know what the promises of God are for provision, for protection, for right standing, for eternal life, for peace, when we know what those covenant promises are and know how to apply them to our lives, we begin to live in those. We become part of what the Bible calls here the family of God. Look what it says. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. We're made one with him. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. So now we have these covenant promises of God through Jesus. We have these covenant promises of right standing with God. We have these covenant promises that when we pray according to his will, he hears us. And since we know he hears us, according to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, we have all the requests that we've made known to him. When we pray according to his will, we have it now. And these are the things that we've got to learn about this covenant that we have with God. Y'all, we're not like the world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We have a covenant with God of protection, a covenant with God for peace. Jesus said it, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world has peace, my peace I leave with you. We can have peace in the middle of everything that's going on in the world because of this covenant that we have with Jesus. We're one with him. Now, look over at your Bible, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Jesus said when we read in John in chapter 17, he said to the Father, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but leave them here. Why? You know, in days like these, I find myself praying, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. It would be great to have you come and take all the believers out of here. Well, God is so in love with the world. He's so in love with mankind that he wants them to accept this truth, to know the truth about who he is and the provision and protection and safety and love that he has for mankind. Look what the Bible says here. Here's why we're still here. Here's why believers are in the world. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Do you get what he's saying here? We are the light of healing. We are that light of love. We are that light of hope for the world, right? He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Here Jesus tells us our purpose for still being in the earth. Our purpose for being in the earth is to take a stand for who he is, to show his love, to show his light, to show his grace, to show his mercy, to show his healing, to show how we in the middle of bad times can still stand together. But watch, y'all, we can't succumb to the same thinking of the world, the same fears of the world, and the only way that's going to happen is if we renew our minds on a daily basis, on a consistent basis, to who he is, to what he's done for us, what he's provided for us. We've got to renew our mind to who we are in him, what we have in him, and what we can do in him. We are Christians. We are the light of the world. Jesus never wore a mask, and nothing's wrong with the mask. You get what I'm saying? Wherever you are, if you got to wear gloves and a mask, do whatever you've got to do. But I'm telling you, Jesus didn't, and we can live at that level that he lived at. Jesus didn't panic in a time of leprosy. He put his hands on those who had leprosy. He didn't catch the leprosy. They caught the healing that was in him. Y'all see what I'm saying? We cannot, as the church, seclude into nothingness and disappear off the earth while the devil just runs rampant, killing, stealing, and destroying and causing fear in the earth. We've got to take a stand in prayer. We've got to take a stand in faith. We've got to take a stand in the word so that the things that are in the world don't hurt us, and we begin to infect and affect the world for Jesus. Are y'all listening to me in this place? I know it to the foreign mind, I sound crazy. When I hear myself saying these things, I know that many people in the world go, that dude's crazy right there. But I'll tell you what, I'm crazy healed. I'm crazy blessed. I'm crazy with peace right now. I have peace even in the middle of these things because I know what the Bible says about these things already. Look, now here's what God ultimately wants. Here's what God ultimately wants with us believers who stand on the word and don't get swayed, don't get taken off track in these times. Look over in Isaiah. It's a prophecy Isaiah made in Isaiah 60. Look at the first three verses. The whole chapter is about this, but we'll look at the first three verses. He says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You're the light of the world." He says, "Arise and shine." Hit the person right next to you if you're sitting there with your wife or with your kids. Tell them, "Arise and shine." Y'all get what I'm saying? We can't let this light that God has given us, this truth that he's given us, be put out. He says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth," "and deep darkness the people." He said, darkness will cover the people. "But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. His joy, his peace, his healing, his goodness will be seen on you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Do you hear what he's saying? There's coming a time, though. There's coming times. My wife had said this to me yesterday. She said, "I never thought that we would be alive during these times." I said, "Me either. I, you know, you read about these things in the scriptures, but they just seem so far off. But these things are true, and we're going to live in the day where darkness," and it does, darkness covers the earth, where the world and even a great part of the church thinks exactly like the world does, thinks exactly like the world does in terms of the evils and the sin and the things that are in the earth. And y'all, we've got to know what the truth is, renew our mind to it, and then let that light shine in us with love. We never want to condemn people. We never want to put people down. We're not putting down people who don't understand these things. I understand it. We didn't understand it at one point. But we want to have a lifestyle that is such, that is attractive, that attracts people with our light and our love. Here, let's move on. I'm going longer than I planned to. I'm almost done here. Watch this. Turn over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 24, verse, you know what, skip over that one. Go all the way down to Romans chapter 12. Yes. How do we do this? How do we begin to walk in health, begin to walk in boldness, begin to walk in what God has for us? How do we begin to stand? It has to come from renewing our mind. Listen, if we don't change our thinking, our lives won't change. Your life changes when your thinking changes. The Bible says it in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. It says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so are you." And I'm going to talk about this in great detail on Wednesday, because the Bible tells us, you'll know a tree by its fruit. You can tell an apple tree because it's got apples on it. You can tell a peach tree by the peaches that are on it. You can tell what you and I believe by the fruit that's on your tree, by what you're experiencing in life. And the Bible says you can change the fruit by changing the tree. In other words, you can change your entire life by what you put on the inside of you, by the words that you're putting on the inside of you, on what you're meditating on. Look, here it is right here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed," that word conformed means molded, shaped like the world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. Don't be conformed to the fears of this world. Don't be conformed to the terrors, to the sicknesses of this world. You don't have to be conformed to that, right? But be transformed, how? by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The transformation in your life and my life is going to occur as we change our thinking. And this is so vitally important that we disconnect, listen to me, saint of God, from watching the news 20 and 40 hours a day. Now, I'm a person who loves news. I love it. I love knowing about the stock market. I love knowing about these things. But now if I turn it on, it will cause fear. I've got to put on. Now I find myself putting on constantly Creflo Dollar, Lee Stokes, Andrew Womack, Dwayne Sheriff. I'm putting on preachers to keep my spirit up. I found when this first came out, y'all, I'm just talking to you personally. When this first came out, I was wondering what in the world was going on. I watched the news, and I watched it, and I found myself really fearful. I found myself, from what I was hearing, very fearful. Like, whoa, what in the world is going on? I didn't think this would happen. And I had to, it was bothering me on the inside. So I got up one morning. I said, that's it. Let me go outside and talk to God about this. And I walked around my neighborhood, and everything changed on the inside when I began to realize who I am, what I have in Christ. It changed my whole outlook. Now listen, that's what's going to happen to you too as we tune into the Word of God. There's no better time to get locked into the Word of God. The Bible says here, don't be conformed to the world, but will be transformed from sickness to health by the renewing of your mind. Transformed from being disturbed and not having peace to peace by renewing your mind. And this isn't a one-time thing. This is a lifestyle. Here, turn over in your Bible. We're our last passage. And we're going to go. Thank y'all so much for tuning in today. Thank you for sticking with me today. Look over at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. I'm going to read 17 through 24 in the Amplified Version, and then we're closing. Watch this. Paul says here, says, so this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as in his presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles. He says, don't live like them. Don't live in their fears. Don't live in their perverseness. Don't live the lifestyle like them. Watch what he says. As the Gentiles do in their perseverance, in the folly, perverseness, in the folly, vanity, emptiness of their souls, and the futility of their minds. The emptiness of their minds. Watch this. Their moral understanding is darkened. That's that darkness of the world that Isaiah was talking about. And their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, watch this, estranged and self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, and willful blindness that is deep-seated in them. He says they're alienated from the life of God, from the health of God, from the peace, the joy of God. They're alienated from it because of the way they're thinking. Listen, saint, you and I too, if we take on the same world's thinking, we're going to be alienated from the healing of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. And Jesus talked about this. He talked about in Matthew chapter 7. That's why I was going to read that to you. But it talks about how storms come in life, but those who build their house on the rock, build it on the foundation, the storms came, the winds blew, the floods came, but their house still stood. But the believer who heard the same thing but didn't act on it, that didn't meditate on it, that didn't go further than just an hour or so on Sunday, heard it but didn't enact it, didn't take the time to understand it, take the time to make sure that it's on the inside of them, to build them up and make them strong. The same storms came, just like now. Same storms came, but that person who wasn't founded on the rock, on the word, their house crumbled. We don't want that to be you. We don't want that to be anybody. But the Bible's telling us, this is what keeps you standing. This is what keeps you. It's knowing his word and living by it. He says, in their spiritual apathy, verse 19, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves a prey to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. But you did not so learn Christ. He said, that's not who we are. We don't live our lifestyle the way the world lives it. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We dictate our life by what God says and get life. That means we do life God's way in our marriage, God's way in our health, God's way in our work. Everything we do, we set our life by the parameters of the Word of God so that we can enjoy all the life that God has for us. He says, you did not so learn Christ, assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him. He says, if you've really heard this, and if you're really living by this, this is absolutely going to change your life. It's going to change your outlook on life and the way you view everything. He says, strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. And look at this. Here's the verse I want you to see. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental spiritual attitude. Renewing the mind is going to be an ongoing process for the rest of our lives as believers. It's not something we just do once and once a week. Trust me, if you watch television, your mind is being renewed and being transformed into the ways of the world. Through the media, we have to renew our mind to the Word. That's why during these times particularly, please, please, get things going in your eyes and in your ear gate that are going to feed you health, that are going to feed you provision and stability, that are going to feed you peace, that are not going to feed you fear and turmoil. Because whatever you're taking in, it's rooting on the inside of you. The more you hear it and the more you think about it, and it will move your life in that direction. Your life is moving in the direction of your most dominant thoughts and your words. He says, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. Friend, I'm telling you, this is what we're going to do. And if you'll connect with me and stay connected, we're going to see to it, if you'll lock in, that you know how to handle fear, that you know how to handle everything that's coming in our world, everything that's coming through the media. You'll know how to resist it. You'll know how to stand against it. You'll know how to walk in health, how to walk in wealth, how to walk in peace, and how to walk in joy. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the people of God that have connected with us today via live stream. I pray for them. I pray for all the healthcare workers, all the nurses, all the doctors, all those working in hospitals, all those working in medical centers, all those that are tending to ill people. I declare protection and safety on them. I declare over our children at home. I declare safety and peace to every person that's under the sound of my voice. Everything that concerns you, I declare the peace of God over it, over your job, over your work. I declare in the name of Jesus, coronavirus, you must die. And I declare you be cast into the sea. In the name of Jesus, I speak it, I declare it, and I declare that you are healed. I declare that you are whole. I declare that you will have nothing missing and nothing lacking. I declare everything that's been stolen from you during this time will be restored sevenfold. And I declare the peace of God, the joy of God, the provision of God over you as you look to him and not to the world. I declare it, so be it in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement with that, say amen. Listen, I want to encourage you again to stay with us, follow us, and to give, to sow your seed. Sow your seed. Again, three ways to give. You can give online on our website at www.destinygso, right on our website, or you can text to give. Text give, the word give, G-I-V-E, 2-336-344-7088. Or you can mail in your tithes and offerings to P.O. Box 16065, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27416. Listen, friend, I love you. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. I look forward to seeing you, if you can, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. I want to connect you with you for prayer and Proverbs. I love you, and I can't wait to see you then. God bless you. Peace.